My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Colonel Mike McAllister, who is also a candidate for the Republican nomination for Senate in the state of Florida. It's expected to be one of the fiercest Senate battleground states in the year 2010, with a number of Republicans hoping to take on two-term incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson. And Colonel, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, you served in the U.S. Armed Forces for more than 30 years. Now politics is what you're focused on. Why are you running for the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think that, you know, we all realize that our country is in serious trouble and that we are going to have to get people in the U.S. Senate that have much better awareness and understanding and expertise to deal with the threats that are facing our great country today, both from within and without. And I feel like that my background provides that. I was a single parent. I raised a kid by myself. I know what that's like, working multiple jobs to get them through college. I was in the National Guard, the Reserves, active duty, so I understand those perspectives. I'm a War College graduate. I have a doctorate in business management. I've taught MBA classes for universities in the global MBA program. So I feel like all these things are going to help a lot to get our country back to its competitive edge to regain our jobs and our industries and grow our economy.
Well, let's talk about that experience. First of all, on the national security front, obviously you've got a great deal of experience serving again in the U.S. military. What do you see on the international stage in terms of our military readiness that are major concerns to you compared to the way things are currently going?
Well, you know, I think the military's probably getting ready to change its future focus again. I was very fortunate my last 6 years as a reservist and then active duty as a colonel. I was at U.S. Special Operations Command. They have a global mission in the war on terror. I sat on a Pentagon committee at that time with the Undersecretary of Defense where we did the transformation plan for the military. Now, this was back like in 2003, 2002. And then we were looking at much more of urban warfare, small unit tactics. But I think with the, as you look forward, it may be in the future more of a big perspective again, big Army, big Air Force, big Navy, because of China. You know, they're trying to develop military lift capabilities, leverage their technology, some of it renegade technology transfer to build better aircraft. And, you know, once they start trying to project forward force and forward presence, it's going to change our requirements. So we got to be aware of all those things. It was really interesting. This week I was at a AP media event in Tallahassee, and I brought up the threat of communism and China and patent breaching, and the media kind of had beat me up a little bit. Today on the Tampa Tribune, apparently it's been released that the Soviet Union and China intelligence agencies are, in fact, robbing our technology, which is taking our jobs, our industry, our economic wealth, but also they will apply it to use against us in military in the future. So we've got to have people that understand these things, not just giving speeches on them.
Colonel, you mentioned obviously your experience in the military as well as the education you've been able to attain. There may be some, though, who say that's great experience. You've had a lot of academic training. You've had a lot of military leadership opportunities. How does that translate to a domestic agenda that obviously we focused a lot on jobs, debt reduction, entitlement reform, and that sort of thing?
Well, I think you can look at anybody running and ask the same question. So let's go back to what the U.S. Senate does under the Constitution. They are a very unique body that do things no one else does. One is they confirm the senior military leaders. No one else does. They confirm the ambassadors and the senior State Department officials, which you need an understanding of foreign policy, vital interest, and how we operate in other countries. They confirm the presidential cabinet. They confirm our treaties, and no one's talking about this. And that brings us back to what I just said previously. If we don't have better people understanding treaties and trade agreements, then we're never going to get where we are protecting our resources and our economics, and we're never going to grow our jobs and the economy. We've got to not let other countries steal our wealth. Now, we can talk about creating jobs, and right now everybody's talking about cutting spending. Again, I would say I have a doctorate in business management. I think I understand that pretty well. I was the lead faculty for the global MBA in a program at a university. I understand what we're up against. We're 5% of the world. But just cutting spending in this country is not going to put Americans back to work. What makes jobs in our country is American companies selling their products and services to the other 95% of the world and here at home. And when other countries are taking our customers, including here and abroad, stealing our research and our development, our technology, just like was pointed out in the media today, with that goes our industries and our jobs and our future. So when we talk about these things, I feel like, you know, I'm a small business owner. I've taught in the global MBA. I've worked for global companies. I feel like I have the best assets and resources and credentials to face this issue, and we've got to face it. It's going to continue to get worse.
Let's talk a little bit about the race for the nomination now. There are at least four people I know of in the race, three of whom at least are considering themselves and presenting themselves as the true conservative in this race.
Yeah.
Yourself, George Lemieux, and Adam Hasner. I don't know if Congressman Mack is giving himself that label yet or not, but as obviously Republican voters try to determine who's right about that, what case do you make for yourself compared to the others?
Well, I guess I would just say, you know, look at the resumes. You know, we say who's the real conservative. I know at least one of those individuals, and maybe a couple of them, have a voting record that people can go review. So how did they vote? How was conservative was their voting record? I think also we may want to take a look at is, you know, do we want career politicians? Is this someone's next job? Is this them trying to go from this elected position to this elected position? I think a lot of people today want someone with real-world experience and not political insider experience, and we feel like that's what we bring. And again, let's not lose sight of what the U.S. Senate does. It's a unique body. It's our last line of defense of what comes out of the Congress and out of the executive office of the president. And we've got to have people that clearly understand the role of U.S. senators, national security, national defense, foreign policy, global economy, treaties, trade agreements. And that's where we feel like that we by far have the best resume. But who's a true conservative? I mean, I'm a farmer. I raised a kid by myself. I spent 33 years in the military in one fashion or another, and I have always lived very conservatively. Me and my son are both Eagle Scouts and Gotten Country Award winners. So, again, everybody can say I'm this and I'm that. All we say is look at the resume.
Real quick, just to hit on some of the issues that may determine for some voters where you stand on some of the issues key to conservatives. First of all, abortion.
Well, I'm pro-life. And I'm also a big 10th Amendment guy. So I signed the personhood amendment for Florida. I'd like to see Roe Wade reversed at the national level, but I'd like to see the states exercise 10th Amendment and have state amendments that protect life. But I'm very pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-10th Amendment. But I signed them. Now, a lot of people say I'm conservative, but I've signed those. I signed the 10th Amendment pledge. I signed the Right to Life pledge that hopefully will go on the ballot here in Florida as an amendment.
Definition of marriage.
Definition of marriage is between one man and one woman.
Tax cuts. Is there any way, whether it's the super committee or where tax loopholes and deductions, as long as the marginal rates are reduced, is that good for you? Is there a particular tax philosophy you'll bring to Washington?
I think we need a balanced budget amendment. I think we have spent way too much time with this whole issue simply because we don't have a balanced budget. Here in Florida, we have a balanced budget amendment. It forces them to cut the spending to meet the income. Now, let's go back again. We've got to remember this country pays its bills selling products and services. I don't care how much we cut spending in the federal government. Till we get more Americans back to work, and the only way you're going to do that is get American companies selling more American-made products and services. And the only way we're going to do that is to get our customers back that have been stolen from us by competitive nations that have unfair trade practices. Phony currency devaluations, patent breaching, unfair labor practices. It gives them a cheap product that they can then go in and get our customers. So we've got to remember that. You've got two sides to a balance sheet, and we've got to manage both sides of the income statement. We got to cut spending. We need a balanced budget amendment, but we have got to get back to regaining our competitive edge. And I'm telling you, my friend, until we start selling more American-made products and services, nothing's going to work.
A couple more quick questions for you, Colonel. On the issue of the president's health care plan, also known in conservative circles as Obamacare, vote to repeal, vote to adjust. How would you vote on that?
I would vote to repeal it. I think that it's unconstitutional. I see nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government the right to tell us, to mandate to us that we've got to have health care coverage. I think that we need to have free markets that allow more competition in the states with health care insurance. with auto insurance, with home insurance. We've got to get the legal handcuffs off our businesses and our entries in the American entrepreneurial spirit at all levels of government, local, state, and federal. If we don't get the handcuffs off, and this is where the liberals really don't, they don't want to see it, but we're 5% of the world, and the other 95% of the world doesn't have all these regulations. They're not paying for all these overhead that we are, and all of that ends up in the final cost of the good or service. Why do you think so much stuff at Walmart and Target is made in China? They don't have those unnecessary costs built in, and they don't have costs built in that could be lowered or eliminated. So we go buy the cheap stuff because it doesn't have all these things, and in our country, we basically force upon our industries that has to be passed on to the consumer. And then the consumer says, I'm not buying that product, it costs too much. We got to face the realities of a global economy, and we got to protect our interests. But we've also got to secure our borders. We've got to lower regulation. We need tort reform. We need lower taxes for everybody. We need a business-friendly environment. And then we got to stop the world from stealing our technology and stealing our inventions and stealing our customers.
Last question. Entitlement reform, big issue in Florida. How do you address it?
Well, when I think of entitlement, I think of Social Security and Medicare. We have got to save them. And we've got to fulfill the commitments we've made as a nation. If someone has done their part and fulfill their obligation of Social Security and Medicare, and the same with our military retirements, we got to fulfill our end. But going forward, we got to face the realities that things have changed. When Social Security started, we had 35 to 40 people paying for every one person drawing. We're now down to 2.5 to 1. We have an aging population, and we have a population that's not increasing. So we're going to have to make changes, but it needs to be where people understand up front what they're going to get. You can't come to them when they're 55 or 65 and say, well, we're going to change the plan now.
Colonel, a great discussion. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Mike McAllister seeking the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in Florida. If successful, he'll take on two-term Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.